from the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, along this guy right here, Graham Harrell, got the million-dollar smile, and he's wearing a hat, breaking all rules, but we're going to let him go ahead and wear it. Now, we hate doing this show after a loss, a 38-10 loss in New York, tough loss on the national stage. What happened?
They just came out and outplayed us that day. You know what happens. They were ready to play. We got behind early, playing catch-up the whole game, and when you're playing catch-up to a good team like that, you're in trouble. So they outplayed us that day, and we're going to learn from it and recover from it, and I think we're going to be all right.
At first, it looked like it was going to be a shootout. You guys trade touchdowns early, like, oh, wow, we're getting ready for a shootout. But the only one that was shooting that had bullets in their gun was the Giants, as you could see.
Oh, yeah. That first drive was a good drive, and that's kind of what we went in with the game plan, kind of run it, keep a seven-man protection, and make some plays. But then the momentum swung. You know, we missed the field goal, and they go down and score. Then we throw a pick right off the bat, first play of the next drive, and put ourselves in a hole. And like I said, you kind of have to get away from your game plan, playing catch-up. And when you're playing catch-up with a D-line like that and a team as good as they are, you're going to be in trouble.
Can you get kind of getting a feel that the game was getting out of hand early? I mean, you and Aaron Rodgers, obviously, you guys are close. I mean, he's always speaking highly of you and you as well as him. And my man was taking some hits. He had like 5 sacks. He's kind of running for his life out there.
Yeah, like I said, when that kind of defense line knows you're going to be throwing every down because you're behind, it's tough to block them. They're really good players. And like I said, the game plan was to come out and try to run the ball and 7-man protect. But we got ourselves in a hole, and that made it tough. So like I said, they did a great job. You got to give them credit. And on the sideline, it was frustrating. And me and Aaron were talking, and I don't think anyone ever felt like we were out of the game. But he was frustrated and wanted to get things going. But there towards the fourth, you know, like you said, you could really tell it was kind of out of hand.
Now, he took some big-time hits to Justin Tuck, and a couple of guys are taking some big-time hits. When he comes back to the sideline, what are some of the things that you guys are talking about? It's like, man, you got to get out of the way.
Yeah, don't get hit like that, man.
Right. So,
really, we just talk about what I see in the secondary. And up front, it's a little different deal. You know, up front, it's just a feel thing in the pocket and all that. And there's not a lot of you can do studying the cards or anything like that as far as when you're getting sacked. That's just their guys are beating you. But when we come to the sideline, we're talking about what are they doing in the secondary, how can we attack it, how can we do things to help me get the ball out of my hand pretty quick and give us a chance out there. So those are things we discuss, go over, and hopefully it helps. Like I said, the other day they just got the best of us. But usually we can pick a few things up and kind of share with each other.
Can you pitch ideas for plays? I mean, can you go to coach and say, hey, I'm talking to Aaron. I mean, how much insight do you have?
I can. Like I said, me, Aaron, and Tom, all look at the cards right there beside each other.
Are those cards you look at on the side?
They're just pictures, yeah,
okay.
Pictures of the plays. So we get to see what they're doing to us. And another thing that I have the advantage of, I get to talk to guys more than, you know, Aaron's on the field the whole time. A lot of times when a guy comes off the field, he'll tell me, hey, if I just hook it up right here, I can get him or something like that. And so I can tell Aaron that or tell Tom that. And if they want to try to put it in right there, they will. But more than anything, we just look at cards, go over what they're doing, and talk about what we have in the game plan that can attack that.
Tom Clemens is not a guy of many words, though, right? You do most of the talking when you guys all three are sitting down, you and Aaron?
You know, Tom, he's a pretty quiet guy, but he's very knowledgeable. And if he does talk, then it's probably pretty good information. So we listen to him when we can. Actually, when he's there, it's usually him telling us and talking to us. And then, you know, like you said, it's not many words. It's just real quick. And then he gets up, and me and Aaron will discuss, you know, a little more in-depth what we were talking about, what we saw, things like that.
All right, Graham Harrell, nice job early on. Coming back after the break, we'll have more with Graham Harrell. Thank you for watching Inside Lambeau, and I know you love the hat. And that is a nice shot of Lambeau, and I'm alongside Graham Harrell, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Now, this is something that just seems to sweep around America, photobombing. Now, can you explain the definition of a photobomb?
I don't know if I can explain the definition, but I guess it's sneaking in the background and just kind of being there and kind of running pictures. As you can see, we have a couple examples, I guess. But it's something that Aaron did. I think he started from the first day he got here, and it's really carried over. And he's been in every picture, every captain's picture for like the last 8 years or something.
Now, how did he recruit you? And now, what is the game strategy when you're getting ready to photobomb some cats?
is kind of just sneak up on them, and I don't know how we can really sneak up on them. They know we're coming, but kind of sneak up on them the best we can, and don't let them know what we're going to do to them. Sometimes Aaron will mess with the actual guys, and most of the time, like you can see here, we're just a more background picture. But you know, it's a little fun thing we do. It keeps the mood light on the sideline before a game. You know, make sure everyone's not too tight, and gets us ready to play.
Now, do those guys know that you're behind them all the time or some of the time? And what happened if one of the guys turn around and pushes you and say, get out of our shot?
They don't really know we're there. I mean, they know we're going to be there, but as you can see, they have the game face on there. They're not,
the game face.
They're not paying too much attention to what's going on behind them. They're too focused. But they are excited because they get the pictures the next Friday. And that is something they're always kind of looking forward to seeing what did we do behind them that week or whatever. So they enjoy it, actually, but... I guess it's kind of become a tradition around here.
Do you and Aaron talk about what you're going to do, or you just go over there and just freestyle?
Most of the time it's a freestyle, but sometimes he has ideas and he'll talk to me about it. I don't ever come up with the idea. I guess I could if I wanted, but Aaron comes up with most of the ideas, and if he has a good one, he'll discuss it with me and we'll game plan it out. If he doesn't have a good one, then we just freestyle it.
All right, I like that. What kind of relationship do you have with Aaron Rodgers? Obviously, he's the reigning NFL MVP. Your locker's right next to him, right next to his, which, you know, on media day, you got to get out of the way. You got to get that shower in real quick, don't you?
That's right. You got to y'all kind of run me out of my locker. But, we have a really good relationship, and that's one thing I think Aaron is unbelievable about is – helping out the younger guys and trying to support us and do anything he can to help and just give us tidbits, whatever it is. So we have a really good relationship. We're close. And like I said, he's been a huge help to me and towards my development.
Yeah, how much has he really helped you in your development as far as a quarterback? I know you've gotten stronger. You've gotten maybe faster by a little bit. The arm strength has gotten there. How much has he helped you, your actual ability?
I think he's helped a lot. And it's more, kind of like these clips you can see, just helping with little tidbits. You know, maybe it's footwork. Maybe it's just a little tip, something he sees that he can tell me. Right there, I guess we're just kind of jacking around. But keep the mood light, whatever it is, you know. He's been great. And like I said, more from the middle side of the game and the small detail side of the game is where he really tries to help.
Yeah, the close-knit unit. Obviously, Matt Flynn now in Seattle. The guy's got a big contract, but he's sitting on the sideline. You guys are close. Is it tough for him? And I know you still talk to Matt.
It is tough. You know, everybody wants to play. Everybody wants a shot at some point. And, I think he really felt like this was his shot. And... or he had a really good chance to go somewhere and start after he performed as well as he did here. And, it's frustrating for him, understandably, but he's in a pretty cool city and has a pretty sweet contract, so I think he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money to spend in Seattle. Money I wish we had. That's Graham Harrell bringing it strong on Inside Lambo. We got one more segment with him, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you something that you don't know about this guy. And welcome back to Inside Lambo. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Graham Harrell. Breaking all the rules with the hat, but we're going to let him slide. Let's talk about his high school career. I mean, you had a great high school and college career. In high school, I mean, you were Gatorade Player of the Year. You won a state championship. I mean, you were really getting it done when you were at the high school level.
Yeah. Texas high school football, it's a big deal there. And I was fortunate enough to be on some really talented teams, some really good teams. That was actually a big game right there, Highland Park. I can remember that. We made a late comeback. But
showing the speed there?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You going to get in?
Probably not. but like you said, I was fortunate enough to have a great high school career. Got to throw the ball, set lots of records, had a lot of fun, had some great receivers. And like I said, football in Texas is a huge
big
deal.
Time. And how many people went to the games?
It depends. You know, just an average game, probably, I don't know, 7,000 to 10,000 people. But
wow.
You know, when you go to a playoff game right like this one right here, we'd probably have 30,000 to 40,000 people there. So people love it. It's a fun game, and like I said, I was fortunate enough to be on some really good teams and put up some really big numbers, and it was a ton of fun.
Now you didn't get to start because your dad was the coach, did you? Or you were good though, right? You backed it up.
Yeah.
Were some of the guys a little upset? Oh, Graham's getting to start because his dad's the coach.
My sophomore year, some people probably said that, but we went 16-0 and won a state championship, so there wasn't much they could say after that, I don't guess. But like I said, we had a lot of success, had a lot of fun, and like when you're winning and putting up big numbers, people don't really say too much.
Great college career, too. Threw over 12,000 yards. I mean, you were getting it done there.
Oh yeah, you know, to play for Coach Leach and get to play in that offense. Now that's real fun there, and throw the ball every down. And he puts a lot of responsibility on the quarterback, but he makes it fun. And it's, in my opinion, a quarterback's dream system. And he's a great coach, and I got to play with some great players there as well. So that was a ton of fun.
And if you guys don't think that Graham Harrell's tough, he played against, was it Baylor?
Yeah.
With a broken left hand. They said, you need to sit out. And you said, no, coach, take me up. Put me back in the game.
I don't think I said it like that. But, no, it was, I think, the first quarter. I got hit, broke my left hand, or shattered two fingers. They still don't really straighten out, but
still to this day. Let me see
that left pinky is a little crooked.
That's kind of rough, bro.
It was my last. It was actually my last college football game, and we had a really good team, and there was no point missing at that point. I said, "Is it going to get hurt any worse?" And he said, "No." So I said, "All right, I'll stay in."
Tough guy, and I'll tell you one thing you don't know about this guy. This guy was slumming it for a couple years. Now, what is it? You were sleeping in somebody's basement on an air mattress.
Yeah.
You're making an NFL paycheck money. Could you get a bed?
Well, I was trying to keep that money for when I retire, but now that I'm married, I don't have any of my money left, I don't think.
Explain to everybody where you were sleeping and how it all worked out.
I didn't know if I was going to make the team, so I didn't plan on getting – I didn't have a spot. And then just a couple guys on the team had an open basement. So I said, man, I'll rent that out from you. We found a nice air mattress for me. I slept down there, and, I thought I was living a good life until I got married and she made me change things.
No pillowcases. You slept on a bare pillow on an air mattress. Next time, get yourself a bed, will you?
I got one now.
All right. He's Graham Harrell. Did a great job. Thank you for watching Inside Lambeau. Tyler Gunn coming up. The journal set? No. Nice job, Graham.
Thank you. That's it.
First and 10, Rushon steps up, hit from behind, ball comes loose. Hit is scooped up by Jason Pierre-Paul, stumbling inside the 25, down to the Green Bay 23-yard line. Oh, my goodness, folks. Rock, I hate to say it, this is starting to look like the playoff game last January.
Boy, it's tough to watch if you are a Green Bay Packers fan. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Tyler Dunn. He's getting ready. He's shaking those hands. Rodgers took some big-time shots. 5 sacks. I mean, he was getting pressure from everywhere. This Evan Dietrich Smith, TJ Lang experience, what do you think about it?
I mean, I remember sitting here a few weeks ago with you and we talked about the Brian Bulaga injury, and I think this is the worst case scenario with that injury, because when you move TJ Lang to right tackle, you move Evan Dietrich Smith to guard, I mean, you're really affecting two positions there, and that's what you saw against the Giants. It was a perfect storm. You have a front four that can get after it. Green Bay tried to stick with their game plan. They spread the field. They got behind. They were forced to throw, like Graham Harrell talked about earlier, and it all kind of caved.
Yeah, Evan Dietrich Smith hasn't proven to me that he's an every down player yet.
He is, and they like him. He's been in the system for a while. I just think he's a better fit at center.
Center.
That's probably where he's better, where he's most comfortable at guard. You're right, he does seem a little overwhelmed so far. A really tough matchup against Detroit. Interior, fast guys, and against the Giants, I really thought it was more about the defensive ends. They got after Rodgers on the outside, on the perimeter, and they really didn't have an answer. Mike McCarthy did not adjust.
And TJ Lang, who's a great ball player, is now switching sides. I mean, this is a tough adjustment for him.
It is, and you know, he was very, very comfortable at guard. I mean, that's how he earned that contract extension. He was at tackle as a rookie, had his struggles there on and off the field, got comfortable at guard, and his career really took off. You move him to tackle, he's going to say the right things. He's going to be a good soldier. And really, this is their best 5 linemen on the offensive line right now. But you have to wonder if it's better to leave Lang at guard and maybe try somebody else at tackle.
Yeah, and they tried to run the ball. They tried to pound it. But nothing that the Packers were doing on offense wasn't working. Mike McCarthy took some of the blame, said he takes some of the blame for the play calling. In your eyes, what do you think?
Well, right now, their problem is these cover 2 defenses. Detroit
right.
did it. The Giants did it. They sit back with 2 high safeties. They don't blitz. They get pressure with their front 4. If you're Green Bay, you have to be able to run the ball effectively against that defense. They were not really able to do it against Detroit, although James Starks had some success, and they really did stick with the run. And against the Giants, I mean, they got behind, and they were forced to throw, and they weren't able to run the ball anyway. So moving forward, James Starks, Alex Green, they have to be effective on the ground.
Hey, how much does it hurt a team? I mean, like they say every given Sunday, but how much does it really hurt a team like that? They had everything to play for. The Giants knocked them out of the playoffs last year.
Right.
I mean,
you got to talk about the players. I mean, some of the players I talked to, they just weren't ready to play.
I think you just nailed it. I mean, Green Bay had everything to play for here, the revenge factor. This is the team that knocked them out a year ago. In the NFC North, it's a three-team race, tons of playoff implications, and they come out, and basically the players said they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. That's what B.J. Raji was saying, Josh Sitton, and Jordy Nelson told me in the locker room that he was surprised that guys just didn't have the energy. They weren't up for this game, and if this isn't a wake-up call, he really didn't know what was. I mean, there was so much at stake here, and they didn't bring it. The Giants, they're used to this. I mean, here they are again, struggling
coming
in the middle of the season.
Yep.
They come off a bye, and they had a lot to play for as well. They really did want it more. I mean, it sounds cliche and vague, but that was the case.
Aaron Rodgers was picking himself off that carpet a lot. I mean, they got to start getting worried about the shots that this guy is taking. He's a tough guy, savvy guy, doesn't like throwing interceptions, but he is taking some big-time hits.
He is, and I think that moving forward against Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, a ton of pass rushers are going to be here. They're going to be seen here in the future. Have to keep extra blockers in to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's right. And one thing, that moving forward, what are they going to do? Obviously, they're going to keep everything up front as far as with the offensive line. They're going to just, I mean, everybody's going to improve after a week of work, correct?
I think that they're just going to kind of stay with the course here and expect these big plays to happen. I mean, against the Giants, Aaron Rodgers wanted to go downfield. He was looking for that big play. He just didn't have time. I mean, he was under duress the whole game. Eventually, they think that the five they have up front will mesh, and eventually those big plays will open up.
All right, that's Tyler Dunn bringing it strong on Inside Lambeau. Guess what, folks? He'll be back, and we'll be talking Packers right after this. Quick. Bye-bye. The Packers' annual Toys for Tots collection is this Sunday before the Vikings game. Fans are asked to donate new unwrapped toys or cash donations that will be given to the needy children in this area. Such a good cause to do something like that. I hope everybody comes out in droves, drop in gifts.
Absolutely.
And speaking of gifts, look who's above us today. Our man T. Dunn, Tyler Dunn, Journal Sentinel. Let's talk back to this Giants game. James Jones, one of their best receivers, hasn't dropped the ball all year. Not one look in that game. Can you explain it?
Talking to James Jones about that this week, he said it was just a coincidence type of thing, that there were so many times where Aaron Rodgers was scrambling in one direction and he's kind of running a drag or running across the field in the other direction. He didn't really make that big of a deal about it. He thinks eventually those balls are going to come, and Aaron Rodgers said himself that there's not going to be another game where James Jones isn't getting a target. He's got to get the ball. He's one of the team's best playmakers.
They might be getting another one of their playmakers this week in Greg Jennings. How's he looking, and what do you think? How much is that going to help this offense to get somebody like Greg Jennings, a guy who he'd been to the Pro Bowl a couple times, got a $1 million smile, makes big plays, and makes the big catches.
You know what? He's pain-free, and this is the first time he's been pain-free since the start of the year, and we haven't seen the real Greg Jennings in about a full calendar year. Remember, he had the knee sprain at the end of last season. It really affected Green Bay in the playoffs against the Giants, so finally they hope that they get a healthy Greg Jennings back, and they might be careful with him coming off that abdominal surgery and kind of watch his snap count against the Vikings. But he also, you look at his history against the Vikings, 486 yards, 7 touchdowns in his last 5 games against Minnesota. They could use him right away if he's ready.
T. Dunn dropping the stats and dropping the knowledge. I'm glad he wouldn't got a second opinion, though. Was that his decision to go get a second opinion?
You know, at first, they thought it was a groin injury. They thought this was just a nagging groin injury, and that was that. He tried to play through it. That didn't work. And then the pain started moving around throughout his whole core, and that's when he decided to get the surgery to clean it up. And it's been 3-4 weeks since the surgery, so he should be ready to go.
So he's pain-free. And plus, this is his contract year for him. And he wants to play tough. I mean, and they could really use him down the stretch, so it's a win-win situation for both people.
Yeah, Packer fans might want to watch Greg Jennings while you can right now. Who knows where he's going to be next season and beyond. But right now, this offense needs him, as that Giants game showed. Because those covered two defenses, you have to think he's a player that could kind of bust those as well. It's something he's seen against Chicago and so many teams throughout his history. And he's got that trust with Aaron Rodgers. He'll get him the ball in tough situations.
During the cover two, isn't the tight end supposed to be the player that can help break down that cover two?
Yeah, I mean, you can do two things. You can run the ball and try to force him out of it. In the middle of the field, there should be some opportunities open. That's what they're hoping for. Now, against the Giants, they just didn't have time to make those throws. Same thing against Detroit. Eventually, they think that those will open up.
Yeah, and they open it up as one guy who's been really playing well. Adrian Peterson coming off a big, huge knee injury. This guy is just, he's a beast out there to try to stop. And the Packers defense, put the clamps on this guy.
I mean, just phenomenal. The guy wrecks his knee on Christmas Eve late in the season last year, and he's ready week one, and he's not just ready, he's the best running back in the league. I mean, we're talking about a possible future Hall of Famer here, one of the best running backs ever, and he is at the peak of his career. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, they can't stretch the field through the air. It starts with the run, and it ends with the run. But he's going to be a threat because Green Bay, they're still banged up on defense. Clay Matthews could be a stretch to play. They're banged up on the defensive line. Pickett, C.J. Wilson. So stopping Adrian Peterson, that's got to be priority number one for Green Bay.
How much does it hurt the Green Bay Packers defense when 52 can't play?
I mean, it's huge. And we talk about the sacks and the big plays and him flexing his muscles and doing all that. But the guy is their best run stuffer. I mean, you watch these games. When other teams try to run the ball, they're running away from Clay Matthews. It still tracks him down. I mean, that was a huge, huge loss. And against the Giants, you saw that.
You know what guy is really having a big year for the Green Bay Packers defense, and that is Ryan Pickett. I mean, he's taken on two blockers. I mean, teams are staying away from him. This guy is having a great year.
He is. His position coach said last week that this is the best year Ryan Pickett's had since his new coaching staff came in 2009. We don't talk about him a lot in a 3-4 defense.
Because he's doing all the dirty work in the trenches.
He does. They called it the grunt work. He's Green Bay's grunt. He stuffs to run. He eats up blockers for other guys. Now, he's going to eat up blockers for Clay Matthews, but when Clay Matthews isn't out there, you have problems.
That's King Dunn. Tyler Dunn of the Journal Sentinel bringing it strong again for Inside Lambeau. Thank you for watching, and guess what, folks? We'll be back next week.